This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 90, all about tilt and shift lenses. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 90th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's show, we're going to do an interview with Darwin Wiggett, and we're going to talk about tilt shift lenses in photography. But before we get into that, I always like to thank people for their last comments, and both Ice Cream Man and Benny left comments on our last podcast, number 89, where we interviewed Joyce Tennyson, Michael Greco, and we gave some notes from Jay Mizell. They both thought that the podcast was very useful, and thanks so much for leaving comments. Leaving the comments directly in the blog, photography.ca/blog, is our preferred way of getting them, but you can also leave comments in the forum. Just make your way to the forums on photography.ca, or just send me an email, photography.ca@gmail.com. All right, then let's just get right into today's episode, which is an interview with Darwin Wiggett, where he explains how to use the tilt shift lens, specifically for landscape photography, and also another couple of creative uses. Basically, a week ago, I was on a photo tour with Darwin Wiggett. I'm from Montreal, and he's from Alberta. And Darwin offers these photo tours. He also does seminars and workshops where he gives instruction. But this was just a tour where he allows you to shoot. And if participants are interested, they can, of course, ask questions. Well, Darwin was shooting right along with us. And one of the things I noticed was that he is using a tilt shift lens. And we're going to get into exactly what that is. But basically, it's a lens that is attached to the front of your camera. But that lens allows you to move it up and down and left to right. It's a really cool lens, and I'll let Darwin talk about it. For those that have heard about it a little bit, a tilt shift lens does the same thing as like a 4x5 camera. If anyone's used a 4x5 camera before, you will notice that the front of the camera, you can also tilt that lens and you can shift it left and right. A tilt shift lens for a 35mm camera, either a DSLR or a regular SLR, is going to do the exact same thing. And basically, it is used to maximize depth of field, and it is also used to correct lines and perspective. Anyway, because Darwin was framing so many of his compositions using that tilt shift lens, I thought it would be a great idea for a podcast. So let's just get right into it now. So I'd like to welcome a special guest, Darwin Wiggett, to our podcast. Today we're going to talk about tilt shift lenses for landscape photography and other creative effects. But before we do, welcome Darwin. Glad to have you back on our podcast.
Good to be here.
So I guess the first thing I wanted to know is, I know a little bit about it already, but what a lot of people would like to know is why use a tilt shift lens, and maybe describe what a tilt shift lens is and what it does.
Okay, well, a tilt shift lens is a lens that really has some movements. It's kind of like a Frankenstein lens. It's got little knobs on it, like Frankenstein had on the side of his neck. And you can, with these knobs, make the lens tilt down or tilt up and shift from side to side. So it's kind of like a lens that has yoga movements. It can move around and do all sorts of funky things. And why would we want to do that? The biggest reason is we can control depth of field with the tilt. We can control the amount of area of focus, and we can also, with the shift, control perspective. So instead of falling over buildings like you get if you're photographing street scenes and you're tilting your wide-angle lens up and the buildings look like they're falling over, you can have them look straight, and so that they don't have that earthquake kind of feeling to them.
Because normally on our normal DSLRs and SLRs, we only have one plane of focus. If that plane is vertical and our camera is vertical, there is no distortion. There is no need to use any other aperture aside from 2.8, right? It's perfectly flat and in focus. But that's not the way the real world works. Because sometimes we have, we used this example before earlier today, actually, where we will have shrubs, let's say, and the shrubs will be on the diagonal. They won't be perfectly straight. They'll be on a slope, and they'll be diagonally facing toward us. Now, at that point, if we use our regular camera, we have a limited depth of field. So with that practical example, maybe just describe how we can overcome that folly with the tilt shift lens.
Right. Well, especially in landscape photography, mostly we're photographing the earth. We're photographing a flat plane like the ground. Maybe we're photographing ice, or we're photographing sand, or we're photographing a prairie grass or something like that. We've got a flat plane, and with the tilt of the tilt shift lens, you can actually tilt the lens down into the plane of focus. You always tilt into the plane of focus, and you can make anything from very close to the lens to infinity. If it's long as it's in one plane, you can make that whole thing look sharp even at 2.8. And the situation you described where you have shrubs growing vertically, like you might have flowers or shrubs growing out of the plane, out of the prairie, for instance, they're coming up in a different plane. That's where you might need to engage regular depth of field like f8, f11, f16 to capture the sharpness of the shrub coming out of the plane of focus.
But at the end of the day, basically what we're describing, and please correct me if I'm wrong, when we are photographing something that is not perfectly flat or perfectly straight, that's when we will engage the shift. That's when we will engage the tilt in order to have our camera in the same plane as what we're looking at. Is that correct?
Perfectly described.
Okay, cool. So now let's just get right into really quickly why we're going to use the shift. And people that have used 4x5 cameras before, they're certainly going to know this because this lens is not dramatically different at all from a 4x5 lens. And a lot of photographers back in the day especially used 4x5 cameras for corrections in architectural photography and product photography. But mm-hmm. In terms of the shift, let's just talk about the shift. When we look at an object and we tilt our cameras either forward or backward, as we've just said, we are changing the plane of focus, but we're also doing something to the lines that we are looking at. As many people know, when we look at a building and we try and get it all in our frame, we can't do it often, and we have to like get down on the floor and tilt our camera upward, and that changes the shape. And I guess I'll leave it to you to explain how the shift counters this.
Right. So whenever you have your sensor or your film, if you're using film, the back of the camera not parallel to the subject, the lines of the subject are going to distort. And so whenever you're photographing a skyscraper, for instance, and you're tilting the lens up, then what's going to happen is the building lines are going to look like they're converging and falling down, like the building is going to fall into the frame. And so all you have to do with a tilt shift lens, forget about the tilt in this aspect, is just make your camera sensor or your camera back parallel to the skyscraper. So that means you'll have to have the back of the camera totally parallel, which means then your lens is not going to see the top of the building. It's going to see the middle of the building or the base of the building. And then you shift your lens up vertically until your sensor sees the top of the building. So you're shifting the image circle up so that it actually sees the top of the building. And then you've got parallel lines because your camera back is parallel to the subject. You don't need the tilt part because your back is parallel to the subject, so you can use 2.8, and you've shifted your lens up to see the top of the building so the lines don't distort.
And at the end of the day, we're going to put some photographs to show the difference between, you know, using the tilt shift lens versus not using the tilt shift lens. But at the end of the day, for anyone that's never seen a tilt shift lens, it looks like a normal lens, except you can actually shift it from left to right while it's attached on your camera, and you can tilt it up and down while it's attached to your camera. Just for anyone that's listening to this for the first time that's never even heard this, that's basically what it's doing. And this is not new technology, as we've said. Actually, I'm curious, you've been using the tilt shift lens for how long now, Darwin?
5 years.
How long have they been available for SLRs and DSLRs?
Guessing, but I remember the Canon tilt shift lenses were in the early 90s. I remember thinking about them. But at that time, I was using 4x5, so I didn't need them.
Now, with the advent of digital photography, people want to use them for creative effects, obviously.
Right. And the interesting thing is, not only can you shift to correct perspective, which you've talked about, and tilt to into the plane of focus so you get incredible depth of field, but you can also do interesting things like use shift to make panoramas, for instance. You shift your lens to the left and take a picture, shift it to the right and take a picture. Most shift lenses kind of have an overlap zone of about 20, 25, 30%, depending on the brand. And then those images actually fall pixel per pixel into line because the camera back or the camera sensor hasn't moved. Only the lens has moved. And there's a large image circle, a giant projection that the lens actually has so that it can have the ability to move from left to right. And then they fall perfectly in line and you don't lose any pixels at all. So you can make really wonderful panoramas with a shift lens.
And if someone did want to do this, what type of software would they need to put the two images together?
You would need software that either has layers like Photoshop or Photoshop Elements, or some of the, even for instance, Canon and Nikon cameras ship with panorama software, and you just put the two images in there and they will automatically put them two together. So the software that comes with your camera, really.
Very good to know. I had another question for you. What about other creative uses aside from landscape photography? What type of uses have you, you know, creative or practical, have you seen the tilt shift lens used for?
Right. Well, a couple of things that you can use the tilt shift for that other people that are common is something called a miniaturization effect, which is where you take the tilt and you actually tilt out of the plane of focus. So it's opposing, you're opposing the plane of focus, and you get this thin slice of depth of field, and everything for some reason kind of looks miniaturized like a toy train model. And lots of people have been using that for special effect, and some portrait photographers are using that so they can have a thin slice of focus just on, for instance, somebody's eyes, but the top of their head and their chin is out of focus. It's really quite interesting.
And if someone did want to attempt this, how familiar do they have to be with the tilt-shift lens in order to get it to focus quickly? I mean, most people that do portraits, they work fast. Mm-hmm. And the tilt-shift lens does take a little more time to use than an average lens. How practical is it for this purpose? What's the learning curve for you to be able to use it quickly?
To get the thin slice of focus, it's pretty easy. You just move the, you tilt the lens up and down until you see a really thin slice of focus, and then just use the regular, all tilt shift lenses are manual focus, so then you just use the manual focus and focus on the person's eyes or whatever it is. So it's really what you see is what you get. In landscape, to get that incredible depth of field takes more practice, but to get a really thin slice of wonky focus, it's pretty easy. You just tilt until you kind of see the effect you like, and it's all good to go.
Good to know. And if someone wants to purchase such a lens, what type of bracket are we looking in?
Mortgage your house.
these lenses are typically available for most of the common makes, Canon, Nikon, etc. But we're in the $2,000, $2,500 range. Is that right?
Correct. Mortgage your house.
Okay. But it is so unique that a lot of people are using it, actually. More and more creative people are saving the bucks. Once we're spending big money on lenses, fast lenses anyway, this is another useful tool to add it to our arsenal for sure.
And if you're really anal about the highest quality that you can get, then a tilt shift lens is optimal, because they have such a giant image circle that you're actually taking a section out of the center of the lens. You're getting the best edge-to-edge performance you can get from a lens. And because you can control depth of field roughly independent of aperture, you can often use apertures that give you the best resolution, like f8. And we all know, or people that have been in photography for a while know that the best performing apertures are in the middle of the aperture range in terms of actual edge resolution.
Right. And just to talk about it quickly for like 15 seconds, people think that like f22, f32 is always going to give you the best sharpness, but that's not always the case because of a certain phenomenon called a diffraction. Just for like 20, 30 seconds, maybe describe what diffraction is and why it's not the best case scenario to always put your aperture at f32.
Well, I think actually, rather than describing scientifically what diffraction is, I think from a practical point of view, people should just test it out. Tack some newspaper to your wall and focus your lens on the newspaper and photograph the newspaper. Make sure that the back of your camera is parallel to the newspaper, of course. Photograph it at f2.8 and f4, 5, 6, 8, 11, 16, 22. And then take those images and bring them into whatever software you use, whether it's Lightroom or Photoshop or Aperture, and enlarge them to 100% and take a look at the resolution of the letters. And what you'll see is that the actual resolution of the newspaper type is really good up until you get to 16, and anything higher than that, the actual resolution is pretty soft. So if you're spending $2,000 on a lens and you're using f22, you're not getting the optimal performance from that lens. So you might as well try to find out which apertures are the best performers. Usually that's f8, and try to use that aperture. Now remember that resolution is something different than depth of field. F22 is going to give you the best depth of field, but F8 will give you the best edge resolution.
Very good to know. Thanks so much for that, Darwin. And then I guess for the last question I have, what are the cons? Are there any cons of this tilt shift lens aside from the price?
Yeah, there's actually a couple of three that I can think of off the top of my head. One is that these lenses are all manual focus, and most people that use digital cameras love autofocus. I mean, we have really good autofocus in our cameras. It's convenient, and especially people with, I guess, what you'd call aging eyes trust autofocus in cameras. So you have to learn to go back to manual focus. It's like going back to the dark ages. Second thing is there's no zoom. Most people have a camera that has a zoom lens, and zoom is very convenient. And all of these tilt shift lenses are prime lenses. So you actually have to use your feet again. You have to think about how your lens sees the world and then compose your pictures according to the way the lens sees the world. There's no convenience of zoom. I guess third, of course, is the price. And also because these lenses have such large image circles, they're big and heavy lenses. They're not small lenses. So there's a weight factor as well. And I guess there is a fourth reason, even though I said there's three I can think of, a fourth one comes to mind, and it's the learning curve of how to actually use, especially the tilt. The shift's a bit more intuitive. The tilt is a bit more difficult to get that great depth of field. It's easy to get shallow depth of field, but it's hard to actually get it from really close to infinity. So it takes a bit of learning. And some people get frustrated with lenses. They buy them. They think it's going to be the best thing in the world. They try them out, and it just doesn't click with them. So it's not for everybody. I would suggest that if people are interested in it, they go to a local camera store or a lens rental outfit and rent one of these lenses for the weekend and see if it's something that's going to frustrate the heck out of them or it's going to be magic for them.
Excellent to know. Just to define one more term that you just mentioned, image circle. Some people might not know what that is. If you could just describe that for a few seconds as well.
Sure. The image circle, all our lenses have round glass in them. They're round lenses. We all know that visually. And they simply project a circle of light onto the sensor. And most standard lenses project a circle of light that just covers the rectangle of the sensor. And a tilt shift lens has an image circle that's about twice as large as the sensor is, so that you can actually shift the lens left and right or up and down, so that that image circle will project light on the sensor no matter where the lens is shifted. So we have to have bigger and heavier lenses to project that big image circle.
Makes absolute perfect sense. Well, that's going to do it for us for today. Thanks so much for doing this, Darwin. If anyone wants to see Darwin's amazing work, it's darwinwiggett.com. I'm going to put some extra links in the show notes. And also, Darwin has been gracious enough to give us a before and after shot, or a shot with the tilt shift lens versus a similar shot without the tilt shift lens, so you can easily see the differences for yourself. Thanks so much, as always, for doing this, Darwin, and hope to do this again with you sometime in the future.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
And so I'd like to thank Darwin Wiggett one last time for that fabulous explanation on tilt shift lenses. Of course, we're going to put some before and after photos using the tilt shift lens versus not using the tilt shift lens. Just to show an example in the show notes, you can check that out. You can also go to Darwin Wiggett's site. That's darwinwiggett.com. Links to go in the show notes. You could check out his photography as well as his photo tours and workshops. There's still a week or so left for our assignments on the photography.ca forum. Our regular assignments is just show us where you live. Try and do it in a creative way. We already have some great submissions, but we love creativity. So if you've already submitted, feel free to submit again. And if you're just lurking, feel free to show us what you got. Our level two assignment is time, no clocks. And we've gotten a few submissions there, but we could use a few more. So feel free to get your creative thinking caps on and submit. I'm going to submit a couple in a few days also. I've been lax this month and haven't submitted anything yet, but I promise that I will. If you like this podcast and want to get it automatically, then two easy ways to get it are by subscribing in Google Reader or by iTunes. Links how to do that are in the show notes. And of course, if you're having any trouble, just shoot me an email at photography.ca@gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. And there's so much to shoot. And I hope these podcasts have given you a bit of fodder and a bit of ideas on what to shoot. Shoot different angles. The seasons are changing. There's just lots of stuff to choose. Check out that Jay Mizell documentary from two podcasts ago. He's very inspirational when you're having a mental block on what to shoot. But most importantly, just get out there and keep on shooting. Bye for now, everyone. Thanks for listening.